Enjoyed the food and the fellowship. This afternoon, my text is going to be found in the book of Philippians in the New Testament, Paul's epistle to the church in Philippi. And the text is verse 21, Philippians 1:21. But I want to read a larger context than that. So let us stand for the reading of God's Word. Philippians chapter 1, I'm going to start reading in verse 12. Philippians 1, 12 through 23. My text will be verse 21. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Now, by that, I just want to say, he's in prison. This is one of Paul's prison epistles. He's been imprisoned for preaching the gospel. And he says, I want you to know that even though that's happened to me, actually it's advanced the gospel so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of rivalry, never sincerely, or not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. Thus far the reading of God's holy, inspired, and errant word. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word again, and we thank you for the encouragement of your word that it gives to believers. We thank you for the example of godly men that you have recorded in the scriptures for our instruction. We're thankful for the Apostle Paul, your grace in his life, and his commitment to serve you to the very end, no matter what it cost him in earthly comfort, just so long as he could press forward in his service to you. And we thank you that he had such a love for you, for Christ, and for the church. So bless this message this afternoon to encourage all who are here in our faith and in our walk with Christ. We pray in his name, amen. Please be seated. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, as I said, my text will be verse 21 of chapter 1. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And the title that I've chosen for this afternoon is, Blessed Are Those Who Die in the Lord. Someone said that sounds like a title for a funeral sermon. Indeed, it could be, and no doubt often has been. But someone else said that any good gospel sermon could be a funeral sermon. So, and there's truth in that too, of course. For it is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ that gives comfort to God's people when we are on those occasions laying to rest someone that we've dearly loved. Now, there are many ways to describe or define a Christian according to the Scriptures. If I would ask you this afternoon to take a blank piece of paper and think scripturally and write down how you would describe a Christian, how you would define a Christian based on Scripture, what would you write? You could write something like this. This would be my answer. A Christian is a person who was chosen in Christ before the creation of the world, redeemed from sin by Christ's death on the cross, and in due time has been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I don't know if that covers every base, but it covers a lot of them. There are many benefits for the Christian, several of them being given in this life. Not all of our benefits in Christ have to do with eternity. Right now in this life, we who do believe have the forgiveness of sins already. We have the privilege of prayer right now. We have a great high priest in heaven who intercedes for us. We have the Holy Spirit who indwells us and advocates for us in our prayers. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit right now for strength to live the Christian life. The demands of the Christian life, of a godly life, are truly daunting at times. Where would we get the strength to live those lives, that life we're called to live? Only through Christ. And He gives us that strength through the Holy Spirit indwelling us. We have the communion of the saints. In other words, the fellowship of the church, of other believers. We have that here and now. And there are others that we have now. But this afternoon, I want to concentrate on the eternal gains of the Christian faith and life. My title I borrowed from Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. They are blessed or happy because they go into an eternity of blessings far beyond what we are able even to imagine in this life. We can't comprehend the glories that await the believer in the next life. The apostle of Christ, Paul, said, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." So I want to suggest four gains to you this afternoon, all eternal, for a life that is lived for Christ and then departing this life in the Lord. When a believer in Christ dies, first of all, eventually he or she will gain a better body. And I don't mean a better body just as the world defines it, but a better body in terms of the body that Christ had and that we will gain when He returns. I alluded to this morning, in the morning's message, talking about when Christ returns and the resurrection takes place of all of those who have believed in Him. So we will gain a better body, immeasurably better than the one we have right now. We will receive a glorified body, an immortalized body. We will be raised immortal, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. We will have a resurrected body. We will have a body that will no longer be subject to aging or sickness or finally to death itself. These things are inevitable accompaniments of these physical bodies, these tents, as the New Testament calls our bodies. They're tents. They're tabernacles. That speaks of temporariness. These are temporary bodies that we have right now and that we live in. But we're going to have immortal bodies when Christ comes. I know a lot of people, even ones that are Christians, that aren't real clear about this, sometimes think that when we die, our spirits go to be with the Lord, which is true. But that's as far as they go with it. They imagine somehow that we're just going to be spirits or souls floating around in space somehow. But the Scripture says no. We're going to have bodies. We're going to have a resurrection body, one that can never grow old. It'll never know disease. It'll never suffer pain. It'll never die. And we could read about that, that when Christ comes back, this is what we're looking forward to. I was just reading this morning in our hotel room, Revelation 21. And it's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. It has nothing to do with just a funeral. However, I do know that someday I'm going to die. I know that all of you are going to die, unless we're alive at the time Christ returns. But short of that, we're all going to die. Everybody I love has already died, or they're going to. They're going to die. And so scriptures like this mean a lot to me. And we read in Revelation 21, John says, I saw a new heavens and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, because death shall be no more. There'll be no more mourning, no more crying, no pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. We will have a better body, a glorified, immortalized, resurrected body. So that's one reason why Paul could say, for me to die is gain, not loss. A second thing is that we're going to gain a better home. Now, some of us in this life are privileged to live in very nice homes, we call them. We love the homes that we can live in here. And sometimes they are very beautiful, and they're well decorated, and there are many embellishments that we enjoy in our homes. But all of this that we may possess in this world is really nothing at all compared with our mansion in the beautiful city of God that awaits us. Jesus said in John 14, 1 through 3, that I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And he said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come someday and take you to be with me there in that place. And so that's what he's doing there. He's preparing a place for us. And notice that Christ calls our eternal dwelling a place. It is a place. It's not a dream state. It's not eternal sleep. It is a place that he is preparing for his people. It is our Father's house. And if we're his children, and that's his home, that's where we belong. We belong in our Father's home. And I can remember being in the military and being away from home, and I didn't put a lot of value on my father's home when I was a kid growing up in high school and all that. But I got in the military, got sent over to Southeast Asia to a war, and the idea of going back home to my father's home all of a sudden became a very pleasant thought. And I can remember thinking, boy, if I can just survive this over here and get back home, back to my father's home. Well, that's what heaven is to believers. That's our Father's home. He wants us there. He wants us to come home and be with him forever. And Jesus is preparing a place for us. And so Paul says, I'm looking forward to going home when my time on this earth is over. And if you look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, Paul said, I'm hard-pressed between the two. My personal desire is to depart and be with Christ, which is far better than staying here in this world. Now, that's a wonderful thought, isn't it? Most of us, well, we just cling to this life in this world as much as we can, you know. Paul said, this is rubbish. It's far better to depart from this life and to be with Christ. We gain a better home. Remember the story of the prodigal son our Lord told? It's the favorite parable of many of God's people. The son took his living, the younger son of the two, took his living. He went off into a far country. He thought he was going to have a lot of fun and live on his own and be just as wild as he wanted to be. And he got there, and it turned out to be nothing like that at all. And he began to be in want. He began to be in poverty, and he had to go feed the pigs. And, of course, to us farm folk, there's nothing wrong with feeding pigs. But to a Jew, that wasn't such a good thing to have to do. Feeding horses, yes. Feeding cows, yes. Feeding camels, I guess that would be okay. But feeding pigs, yuck. You know, they didn't want to do that, so they looked down on that. But he had to go feed the swine. Then it came to him finally, you know what? My father has a home. I used to be there. And he might welcome me back. I'll just offer myself to be one like the hired servants. That'd be better than what I've got out here in the world. And he went back, and his father was in waiting for him, and he ran down the lane, and he threw his arms around him, and he hugged him, and he said, "This my son was dead, but is alive again. He was lost, and now he's found. He's come home." He came home to his father's house. And he was welcomed. Yes, after all that sinning out there in the world, he was welcomed back home to his father. And so Paul says we gain a better home when this life on this earth is over with. Now, of course, we stay here as long as he wants us here. We don't have any right to determine the day of our exit. That's up to him. But in the meantime, we're here, and Paul said, I'm going to stay here in this world as long as he wants me here. I will stay here, and I will serve him. But I tell you what, it'd be better right now if he'd just call me out of here, back home. So we gain a better home when our time on earth is over. Thirdly, we gain a better inheritance. Some of you may get an inheritance from your departed parents or grandparents, and some of you may not. But we're all going to gain an inheritance from our Father in heaven. And he doesn't have to die to give us that inheritance. Christ died that we might have that inheritance, but he rose again from the dead. And he's alive now, and he's coming to get his people. And so our final inheritance is not here. It's not in this world. It's in heaven. It's reserved for us. It's kept for us up there. Our final reward is there with Christ in heaven. It's only beyond the gates of death that we're ever going to hear the precious words of our Lord when he says to his followers, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of your Lord." Matthew 25:21. We're going to be joint heirs with Christ. To me, that's just about beyond belief. I can't even wrap my brain around that. Joint heirs with the Son of God. But isn't that what we read in Romans chapter 8? As part of the heritage of a believer, we're going to be joint heirs with God's own Son, Jesus Christ. What an inheritance that must be. I mean, I can't even begin to imagine it. It exceeds immeasurably beyond anything we could imagine as an inheritance on this earth. I saw a movie one time, a very interesting movie, and it was about a young man who inherited an incredible amount of wealth from his grandfather. And it was incredible. Just an incredible amount of wealth. But I think to myself, you know, when Christ comes again, our inheritance at that time is going to be beyond anything that we can even begin to imagine or something we've seen in a movie somewhere. Look at it this way. Jesus Christ is God's own Son. And God's Word says that believers are going to be joint heirs with Him in glory. Wow. I just can't even imagine what that's going to be like. We're going to gain, fourthly, a better fellowship. We have good fellowship here, don't we? We have the fellowship of our earthly families. Some of us like to go to our family reunions. I realize some people don't like them, but a lot of us do like family reunions. We enjoy the fellowship of our aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents, and people we don't see a lot. You know, we get together once a year for a reunion. We enjoy that. We enjoy that. But we all, in fact, do live in a world of dissolving, the family circle's getting smaller. I know that now. I'm one of those that likes to go to the reunion. We have a big reunion in Illinois once a year. I don't get there every year, but I go when I can. Karen goes with me, of course. And the thing is that when we get there, there's always somebody not there who used to be there because they died. They died. It could be a cousin. I think all of my aunts and uncles are dead now. All of my father's generation completely gone. My aunt of 103 died this past year, the last living one of my father's generation. But I've got cousins my age. They're already dead. They've been dead for years. And so the family circle gets smaller. Sometimes our mother's gone, our father's gone. Sometimes a child is gone. Our grandparents are gone. So we go to a school reunion. About 3 years ago, I went to a high school reunion, and I was shocked at how many of my graduating classmates were gone already. They already died. And I was saddened by that as well as shocked by it. And a matter of fact, if we live long enough, we're going to be strangers on this earth. And I've heard of people who outlived everyone they ever knew. Sometimes they're in a nursing home. But if we live long enough, everyone we knew, everyone we loved will be gone. But the circle in heaven will be unbroken, and it will last forever and ever. Because as we read in Revelation chapter 21 already, there will be no death there. There will be no sorrow, no crying, no pain in heaven. And there will, all of the former things that saddened here on earth will be passed away. So we gain a better fellowship because it's eternal fellowship. It lasts forever. Death can't break it up. But best of all, and beyond our families and our friends who wait to greet us there, if they've gone ahead of us in the Lord, we shall see our Savior face to face. People have written hymns about that. We're going to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. And we will be with our Lord throughout all of the eternities to come. The Apostle John wrote about that in 1 John 3, 1 and 2. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called the children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we shall be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. This is what we look forward to. This is the better fellowship that we will have when Christ returns, fellowship with Him. And then fifthly, if for me to live is Christ, if we can honestly say that about our lives are about Christ. He's the one most important person to us. His truth is the most important truth that we can conceive of. It's what our lives are all about. If we can say that, then we can say with the Apostle Paul, to die is gain. To die is gain. We can have that kind of confidence. If for me to live is to live for money, then to die is loss. If for me to live is to live for pleasure, the pleasures of this world, then to die is loss because we lose it all at the moment of death. If for me to live is to live for self, then to die is loss because death is the loss of self for someone who lives for self. If for me to live is ambition, then to die is loss. If for me to live is sin, then to die is loss. If for me to live is this world, if this world and its goods and its pleasures, if this is what it's all about, then to die is loss. For we leave it all behind. If for me to live is Christ, then to die is gain. Again, I want to quote from the Apostle John about this world. And he says to believers and to us today in 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This doesn't mean, of course, that we're not to love the people around us. In the world, we are. But he's talking about the world as a system. The world as a way of living, as if he doesn't even exist. Don't love the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride in possessions, that's not from the Father, but that's from the world. That all comes from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever or lives forever. And the same goes for you. The same goes for all of us. For those who die out of Christ, who've been living for this world up to the moment of their last breath, for them, according to the Scripture, there's no hope. There is no hope. They've lived for this world. They've lived as if this world is all there is. The pleasures, the money, the possessions, the reputation of this world, that's all there is. And they die out of the Lord because that's the way they've lived. But blessed beyond our present comprehension are those who die in the Lord. They shall gain an immortalized resurrection body like the risen Christ's body. They shall gain an eternal home, one that'll never grow old, it'll never become decrepit. It'll never need remodeling. It'll never need updated. It will last forever. It's God's home. And they shall gain an everlasting inheritance, one that can never be corrupted by things on this earth. They shall gain an everlasting fellowship that will never, ever fade out, or it'll never die off, never die away. You're talking about reunions. The greatest reunion that will ever happen is the day Christ comes back and the resurrection does take place and we're all gathered off the earth unto Him or out of the graves to Him. That'll be the greatest reunion ever. All of God's family reunited around his throne. And best of all, we shall behold our Savior face to face. No wonder Paul said, "For me to die, for me to live is Christ. I'm living for Him. I'm living for His kingdom." That doesn't mean we all have to become ministers or missionaries, but you know, we can take the talents and everything we've got here on this earth and dedicate it all to the Lord. You're a farmer, carpenter, plumber, banker. You know, we can dedicate it all to the Lord and say it's His. Everything I've got belongs to Him. That's living for Christ. And Paul says, for me to live is Christ, but to die, that's even better. That is pure gain. For I shall go and be with my Lord, whom I'm serving right here on this earth. I shall go be with Him forever. I shall serve Him forever and ever and ever without sin in heaven. The blessed death of those who die in the Lord. Indeed, it is a great theme of Christian truth. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You for the good hope that You have given to us through the resurrection of Your Son, Jesus Christ, and that by Your grace in Jesus, we belong to You forever and ever. Help us, Father, to be like Paul, to have his attitude of service to You, to dedicate everything that we are, everything that we have to You and to Your service, and to look forward to the day when He appears and we see Him face to face and we shall be with Him forever and ever. And help us to serve, Lord, in doing the best we can in prayer and in giving and in witnessing to take others with us into that heavenly family and that great day of reunion. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let us sing together number 540. 540 in the hymnal of A Few More Years Shall Roll and A Few More Seasons Come, and we shall be with those at rest asleep within the tomb. Then, O my Lord, prepare my soul for that great day. Let us stand and sing.